Amen. Thank you, team. Well, that was beautiful this morning. Good morning, church. Good to see everybody today. I trust you're having an awesome Sunday. It's a good day to have a good day, isn't it? Sure good to see you this morning. If you're visiting with us, if you're a guest here at Open Bible, we're so thankful that you came to join us on this Sunday and worship the Lord together with us. And we're glad you're here. Amen? Did you bring your Bible with you? Did you? Let me see. I don't believe you. Yeah, look at that. Good to see Lifted Bible. Can you find the Gospel of Luke? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Turn to Luke, if you would. Chapter 15. I don't think you need help with that, right? 13, 14, 16. Right in the middle is 15. Luke chapter number 15. And so we're going to begin to, we're coming around third base. We're going to close up our series next week on Always Abounding. We began that January 5th. Amen. I took a week or two off. And so after next week, there'll be 11 messages in this series on Always Abounding. And I hope it was a blessing to you. I really hope it was a challenge to us. Right? I like the Bible verse. I found out this past week that this was one of Pat Nickturn's favorite Bible verses. Somebody mentioned that this past week. I think her son Derek mentioned that. We had a wonderful celebration of life service here on Thursday for our dear sister. It's good to see Bob and his grandson in attendance this morning. Amen. And how many of you memorized 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58? Don't turn it on there yet, guys. How many memorized it? How many have no clue as to what that verse has to say? Let me help you with it. Flip it, guys. Look at this text. Let's read it together. Therefore, my beloved brethren. Stop right there. If you're saved, that's you and I. We are beloved brethren. How many of us feel beloved today? Look at there. How many? Yeah, that's great. And so Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Read it with me. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know. Stop right there. For as much as you know. Do you know it? So what am I supposed to know? That your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I like that, don't you? In other words, what he's saying there is this. There's not a thing you and I do in the name of the Lord that goes unnoticed by the Lord. Right? Years ago, I came to realize this truth, that God keeps good records. And he does. And so there's not a thing you and I do, not a cup of cold water, not a kind word, not a handshake, not a pat on the back. There's not a thing you and I do in the name of the Lord that he doesn't recognize. Now, I know we don't do it for that reason. We just do it because we're wonderful people. Say amen right there. That's the nicest I'll be in this whole message, so enjoy it. But God does take it all in the case, and not in vain. Nothing we do is in vain in the Lord. And what we did over the past several weeks is this. We kind of focused attention on the words, the work of the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we narrowed that down. Do you remember? We narrowed it down, and I don't have time to go back over all of that. That's 11 weeks of messages. But we narrowed it down to this, the Lord's work in redemption, the Lord's work in reconciliation, right? Remember those two? And we took several weeks and highlighted what that meant, dug in, dug deep. And I hope it was an encouragement to us, you know. And so the work of the Lord, always abounding, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, in the work of redemption, in the work of reconciliation. And today I want to close up with this, and we'll finish this next week, but I want to close the message today on this thought, the work of recovery. The work of recovery. That's not an unfamiliar word, right? We hear a lot about recovery, you know, in our society today. And so let's talk about recovery for a moment. What does it mean? What does it mean? Well, just a simple definition. Show us, fellas. A simple definition is this. A return to a normal state of health, mind, or strength. Recovery. How many of us today need to be recovered? Based upon that definition, I'm not sure about normal. You know, normal state of health, mind, or strength. And then it implies this, flip it, guys. It implies the action or process of regaining possession. And that's what I want to concentrate on. The action or process of regaining, say it with me, regaining possession. And I want to stop there and pause there and talk about that this morning, because I think when you talk about the work of the Lord, it includes the work of recovery. The work of recovery. I know we hear often, if you read the newspaper, watch the news, you hear about these rescue and recovery missions, right? Someone is lost, and the very first thing they do is they go on a rescue mission, right? They're trying to find that person, and they want to find that person alive, right? They're trying to rescue that individual, and then it turns into a recovery mission. A recovery mission. I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but the Lord has a ministry of rescuing the dying and recovering the misplaced. Amen. Did you get that? If you miss that, the whole message isn't going to mean much. The Lord has a mission. In fact, He came to earth seeking, on mission, a mission to seek and to find that which was lost, right? And so He's looking, He's trying to rescue, you know, the dying. I like that song, Rescue the Perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. And so He's trying to, first and foremost, He's trying to rescue the dying, but then He also wants to recover the misplaced. And that's what I want to speak to us about this morning. Luke chapter 15, great text of Scripture. Did you read it before? Luke's Gospel chapter 15. Jesus is in the story telling these parables in this text. He's telling these parables. He's telling these stories. There's three stories, right? And there's a common thread. There's commonality here. There's something that connects each story together. Let's read just for a little bit. We'll pick down. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them. Now, think about that mixed multitude there, right? In verse number 1, you got publicans and sinners. And then in verse number 2, you have scribes and Pharisees. That's a mixed multitude, right? You have those who, publicans and sinners, the Pharisees and scribes will look down on them. And then the Pharisees and the publicans and sinners would look at them and I think they would probably be a little confused because they weren't living or practicing what they preached. And so it's a mixed multitude. And Jesus addresses the crowd with these stories. He says in verse number 3, He spake this parable unto them, saying. Now He calls it one parable, three stories, one common truth. Look at it. He says, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Right? So the first story is about a shepherd, a man, who's got 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, and this fellow goes on a mission to recover that lost sheep. Right? It's the work of recovery. Look down at verse number 8. It says, either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Right? So Jesus says, the Bible says, Jesus is telling a parable. The first story is about a shepherd, a man who has a misplaced sheep. In the second story, there's a woman who has 10 silver coins, but as she goes to count them, one's missing. And what does she do? She begins to search for that one missing coin so that she might recover it. Say with me, recovery. To recover it. And then if you go down, if you would, in chapter number 15, verse 11, another story. He says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, right? Now, we call this the prodigal son. We call this the story of the prodigal son, right? Now, I'm not going to read this whole text, but in verse 13, it says, not many days after the younger son gathered all together. So he says to his father, Lord, he says, Father, I want you to give me what's mine. What part of my, whatever is my inheritance, give me my part of the inheritance. The father gives it to him, and the son goes away. He goes, the Bible says, into a far country. Of course, you know the story. He spends all his inheritance, and now he finds himself lacking. He goes and begins to work for a farmer, a pig farmer, and the guy gives him a job. We would call it, you know, slopping the hogs, feeding the hogs. And so he's down there. He's feeding the hogs, and he's just in a bad way. He comes to himself, right? And all the while, the father is keeping vigil, watching for his son to come home. Are you with me? And so three stories with a common thread. And here's the commonality. Something's lost. A search was made to recover the lost item. And the lost item was found. Did you get that? I mean, if you read those three stories, and read them from front to back, and all in between, that's what you'll discover. There is an item that's lost. There was a search for that lost item. And in the end, they recovered that lost item. So why is Jesus telling us these stories? Right? And I believe it's for this reason. It's to inform us, it's to inform his team members that he's not only given to you and I a mission, a ministry of reconciliation, but also a ministry of recovery. Amen. A ministry of recovery. I want you to listen to this statement. And I want you to consider it. Flip it with me, guys. Often saved people get lost. Did you see that? Huh? Often, and I've been at this for a bit, often saved people. How many of us say, I'm saved? Raise your hand, I'm saved. I know Jesus is my Savior. I'm going to heaven when I die. But how many of us have been around long enough to know that even lost people, even saved people sometimes get lost? I heard this statement a lot of years ago when it stuck with me, and I often remember it, remind myself of it. And that is this: you can have a saved soul in a lost life. And there are some folks that I've met along the way who, you know, they have a great salvation testimony, and I can't poke a hole in it. But when you look at their life, their life is just not measuring up to their profession. You know? And they struggle in life, and it seems as if, you know, they've strayed. Listen to this statement. Often God's kids get distracted. Often we wander. Often we, like sheep, we stray. We're still sheep. We're still sons and daughters, but we've strayed. We've wandered away. We've drifted. That's a Bible word. We've drifted, and we've gotten away from it. And that's when, now pay attention right here, that's when the ministry of recovery kicks in. I have to be honest with you. I have a hidden agenda this morning in this message. A few weeks ago, when we talked about the ministry of reconciliation, my challenge to you, I asked this question a couple of weeks ago. What's my role? What's my role? Because God's given you and I the ministry of reconciliation, of going out and declaring to individuals who have kind of been distanced and separated from God, God wants to reconcile you. God wants you to bring you back. And that's pretty much for those who are lost. You know, we go out, we preach the word of God, we preach the gospel, and we're hoping that people see that Jesus loves them and wants them back. Well, we not only have a ministry of reconciliation, church, but we also have a ministry of recovery. Recovery. And that is where you and I, we as God's children, not only seek the lost soul, pay attention right here, but we seek lost brethren. We seek lost brethren. How many of you have been around a church for a while? Been around a church for a while. Some of you have been around this church for a while. But you've been around church for a while, and you know this. You go to a church, you join a church, you become a part of that body, that local community. And you get to know people. And then one day you look around and the people, you say, where's old so-and-so at? Where's so-and-so? I just walked out this morning and I said to Tyler, I haven't seen, and I mentioned two families, older couples. They're not members here, but they're pretty frequent attenders. And I said to Tyler, I haven't seen so-and-so and so-and-so. And he says, yeah, me neither. You know, and the very first thing I thought was, and I didn't say that because of this message. I'm preaching this message because of that truth. Well, oftentimes people begin, sheep, brethren, begin to stray. You know, we begin to wander. We begin to drift. And I think the Bible, I think the New Testament encourages us to have a burden and to do our best to be on a mission of recovery to where we go after those who have strayed and do our best to try to get them back. Get them back. Listen to this text of Scripture, Galatians chapter. I think I put it on the screen for you. Galatians 6 in verse 1 and 2. Look what he says. Brethren, this is Paul speaking. Brethren, if a man, we can say if a brother, sister, be overtaken in the fault, ye which are what? What are we to do? Recover. Go on the mission of recovery. Right? Now don't take that spiritual to it. You know, he's not talking about staff there or leaders there. He's speaking to those of us who are in a better state than those who are overtaken in the fault. Right? And so he's saying this, when you look out amongst the brethren and you see one of your brothers or sisters, one of the brethren overtaken in the fault, man, maybe they just got caught up by life. And they seem to have drifted, or they got a bit wayward. They're wandering. He says, ye which are spiritual, or you who are in a good state. What are you supposed to do? Man, go after them. Amen. Go after them. Try to restore them. Try to recover them. And then he says this, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Or in other words, what he's saying is this, don't be judgmental, because you might be in that condition one day. And you'll want somebody to come after you. You get that? Jude put it this way, flip it. He said, of some, have compassion, making a difference. You know? I mean, there's some you just need to pluck out of the fire. And there's others, just show some compassion. You know what that word compassion means? It means this. You're moved in your heart. You're disturbed inside to the point where you want to do something about what's disturbed you. Are you with me? The ministry of recovery. And I think this, I think often our brothers and sisters get caught off guard. You know, we live in a troubled world, don't we? Right? And it would be great. Wouldn't it be awesome, church? Wouldn't it be great if after we got saved, we just became immune to that? Wouldn't it be great if none of that bothers us? Wouldn't it be awesome? You know, if we never had to deal with, but that's not the case. Right? Sun rises on the just and the unjust. I mean, we live in this same troubled world as the unsaved, and we're plagued by it. There's no perfect family. There's no ideal situations. Me and Tyler were talking about this morning. Me, Tyler, and Isaac this morning, we're having prayer, talking about the fact that every once in a while, you know, we have folk come in to this setting. And if we're not careful, you know, this is an ideal setting. I mean, look at you. You look tremendous this morning, you know. But if I came by your house and saw you gardening or under your car fixing, you know, changing your oil, or on your worst day, you wouldn't look that good. But in church, you look great. And so, you know, newcomers come in, they get saved, and they bring all the baggage with them. How many of you have baggage? We all have baggage. You bring all the baggage with you. And if you're not careful, you look around, you're a newcomer, you just got saved, maybe you just joined the church, and you look around and you see all these smiling faces. You see this group up here singing, and they're rejoicing, and they're lifting up their hands, praising God. And you're sitting there, you just had a fight with your spouse. You know, I hate the terminology, you kicked your dog. I don't mind if you kick your cat, but don't kick your dog. You know, maybe your dog bit you on your way out the door this morning. And then, I mean, just, and you look around and you say, man, well, I can't fit in here. I'm a misfit. And if we're not careful, we give that ideal impression. Hello? And sometimes I think it's my job to get up here and reveal reality. Uh-oh. Who said uh-oh? Uh-oh. You know, we're not perfect. We do struggle. I do get upset when I'm driving at people who drive like they shouldn't be driving. They shouldn't own a car. Hello? We were in the funeral procession the other day, Bob, and I was ahead of you, but there were 1,300 police officers guiding our... It seemed that way. Everywhere you looked, there was a police officer in cars. And this one police, he's right in the middle of an intersection there, and he's guiding the funeral procession. And here comes a guy, not even paying attention. Not even paying attention. I saw him. He didn't see me. And the police officer saying, stop, stop. What are you doing? I thought he's going to pull out his... And I would have said, he deserved it. He deserved it. Right? And so, if we're not careful, people can come in and they sit in this environment and they get the impression that, man, we're all together. We got it all together. We have it all together. We know when to say amen, praise. We know when to laugh. We know where to open our Bible. But they don't know what's going on in the inside. And so, we have to be real. And there are some of those folk, and we're on the mission right now, right, Tyler? We're speaking about a couple families right now that we're burdened for. We haven't seen them in church. We're burdened for them. And so we're going on a rescue mission, trying to find out, can we help you? Can we get you back? Why? Because people do stray. They drift. They wander. And that's because life can be really difficult. And here's what I've seen sometimes. Sometimes people, now pay attention to this, sometimes brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, attempt to break away from the Lord just for a bit. I visited people, and I said, man, hey, how's it going? Pastor, I just needed a break. Now, they didn't say they needed a break from me, God forbid. I just needed a break, preacher. I needed a break. But what they don't realize is this. With that break comes consequences. Because as soon as you take a break from the Lord, the enemy pounces. And that's when he begins to fill your mind and fill your time and fill your slots and fill your day. And now before you didn't plan to get so far away. You just needed a break. But now that break has taken you so far away, you can't find your way back. Are you listening real good? And that's when you and I need to understand that there's a work for us to do. There's a ministry for us to do. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for the staff, not just for the Sunday school teachers. The work of God, the work of the Lord in reconciliation and recovery is a ministry he's given to us. It's a responsibility that we must engage in. Because sometimes our brothers, our sisters, they get caught up. And we don't want to see them get eaten up. Correct? So let me give you from this text of Scripture just three very practical lessons to take with you. You with me? Here's the first one. And this might seem to be pretty simple, and they all are. I'm just drawing it from the text. But I want you to notice this. The item lost was once possessed. Think about that. The item lost was once possessed. In all three of these stories, you find the item that was once possessed. For example, the lost sheep was one of 100. Right? The lost coin was one of 10. The lost son was one of 2. Right? So they were possessed at one point in time. You know, it's all too possible. Pay attention to this. It's all too possible for something we possess to turn up missing. And I'm not trying to imply that, you know, people belong to us. You know, I'm real careful as a pastor and been for many, many years, careful with the fact that you're not my people, you're his. Amen. Right? I don't possess you. I tell you, it really does bother me when folk leave. I love it when people come. I've never found it enjoyable when people leave, unless they're people I'm glad they left. But they're never the ones that leave. The ones that you pray would leave, never leave. No, I'm teasing. I would never pray for people to leave. I never found it easy to accept that. You remember when Job said this? Job said, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. But before that, he said, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now be honest with me. How many of us enjoy it when the Lord gives? Do you equally enjoy it when the Lord takes away? Don't you lie. You're in church. No. Right? So we don't find it that enjoyable. Right? So, but I'm not saying people are our possession, but they are His. They do belong to the Lord. Look at this text of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me remind you what it says in verse 19. He said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where? In you. Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. What does that mean? That means this. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God takes up residence inside of you. And just like in the Old Testament, when God would dwell in the temple or in the tabernacle, now God dwells in you and me. We are His temple. Isn't that unbelievable? Think about it. And then he says this, as a result, you're not your own. Why not? For ye are bought with a price. What's that mean? That means this. When Jesus Christ, you know, died on the cross of Calvary, He paid a price with His own blood. He bought you back through the precious blood that flowed through His veins. You're bought with a price. Therefore, as a result, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Look here, folks, when we get saved, we belong to Him. Amen. And I have no problem with that, because prior to that, I belonged to who? Say it loud. Yeah, I was controlled by the spirit that fluctuates here in this world, that evil spirit. But now we belong to Him. Right? So we become His possession. I like that. I love being, you know, purchased by Him. However, there's a danger of drifting. Hebrews chapter number 2, verse 1 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Why? Because there's danger of you and I. We're sheep, and sheep have a tendency to wander. We wander, you know. We get overwhelmed with things. We get caught off guard and we begin to wander. But I said a moment ago, and I want to say it again, the item lost was once possessed. Right? It leads to a second lesson here. The second lesson is this. A diligent search was made for the lost item. Right? Whether it was the son or the coin or the sheep, a diligent search was made. For that lost item. The shepherd, now think about this, that shepherd leaves that 99 and goes after the one. Some would say, man, he's got 99, what's one? Well, to that shepherd, that one was everything. That woman still had 9 silver coins, right? She could have been just satisfied with the 9, but no, I mean to tell you, she turns on the lamp, she gets out her vacuum cleaner, she begins to sweep, spring cleaning like you wouldn't believe. And the Bible does say in verse number 8, a diligent search, right? She was seeking diligently until she found it. Search was made for that lost, a diligent search. You may not see it, but I promise you it's there. That father kept vigil. And every day, I believe with all my heart, every day he would just wake up and look toward that field and hoping that one day that boy was going to come back home. Amen. Are you with me? A diligent search was made. You know, Jesus left heaven on a seek-finding mission. And as I said a little bit ago, he's trying to just not just seek the lost, but also recover those that are missing. We mean that much. Our brethren mean that much to him. And we need to become seekers of lost brethren. When one of our own strays, Let me draw your attention here. Please don't lose this. When one of our own strays, we need to seek to see them restored. I don't see that a lot in church. Here's what I see a lot of. I see a lot of us recognizing who's not here and us asking, where are they? Huh? I see a lot of that. I mean, to tell you, I've seen it for years. And I even hear, Pastor, where's so-and-so? Huh? As if I have some kind of GPS coordinates. And I can tell you at any given time where you are. No, I wouldn't want to know where you are at any given time. It's not for me to know. Huh? But what I don't hear is people come up and say, Pastor, I haven't seen so-and-so and so-and-so, so here's what I've been doing. I've been praying for him, and I've been trying to reach out to him. Now, guaranteed, it is the responsibility of the shepherd and the assistant shepherds, and we try to do our best. But it doesn't stop there, because Paul said, remember the book of Philippians? Paul said, I beseech, he talks about these two ladies in the church, you know, Syntyche, Eutychus and Syntyche, that they be, you know, they just get their mind, you know, together. But before that, he said to the church, help me see these ladies restored. Amen. So it's not just for the pastor or the apostle Paul. No, it's for each of us. We have a ministry of recovery, where we need to do our best to go and see if we can't get those lost ones restored. You know, and sometimes, listen, sometimes it's just not possible. We go and we talk to an individual and they begin to give us, now pay attention here, they begin to give us their reasons for concern. And some of them are valid, right? I haven't seen you at church, what's going on? And sometimes they'll tell you, man, the bottom just dropped out. You know, I'm having a problem with this, that, and the other. And sometimes it's got nothing to do with church, right? Been there, done that. Sometimes it's got nothing to do with church. It's all about life, you know. And then sometimes they'll say this, well, you know what, I don't want to say. Well, why not? What's going on? Well, you know what, I came to church and sat next to somebody, and boy, that person was so judgmental. All that person did during the service was speak bad about the church. Or that pastor, you know, he's too long, too loud. You know, just, it's always jumping in my business. Look here, if that's what you get, where the pastor's always jumping in your business, that's the church you want to go to. Amen. Because that means the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to that guy. Huh? Right? If the Word of God is always speaking into your business, thank God for it. Brother Tyler mentioned the other night, going to church where you get conviction. Right? You know, it would just feel good. You come in here, Pastor, would you stroke me today? Would you stroke me? Sure, I'll stroke you. But I'm telling you, on the other side, I'm going to have to preach the Word of God to you. I'm not going to slap you, Sheila. Sheila said, slap him. No. Slap him in the name of Jesus, right? But I would hope that we understand that people, you know, sometimes have valid concerns. But listen, no reason is valid for walking away from the Lord. Huh? And it's one thing if, you know, Billy Bob and Betty Sue, yeah, they come into church and all of a sudden we don't see them for a while. And I go call up Billy Bob, Betty Sue. And, hey, what's going on? Well, Pastor, we moved on. We're going to a church down the road here. And if that church down the road there is preaching the Word of God, Isaac, well, God, they're in church. Would I rather them be here? Sure. Let's just be honest. Sure. However, I'm glad they're in church. But when Billy Bob and Betty Sue, I call them and, Pastor, we're not going to church no more. Are you watching? Nah, we're not watching online. There's no valid reason for walking away from the Lord. Amen. People may disappoint you. He never will. Amen. He never will. Don't let yourself be fooled to think that it's going to be okay. I tried Jesus. You don't try. That's the whole problem. You tried Jesus like you tried some program, some counseling, some therapist. You don't try Jesus. You follow Jesus. No trials. Are you with me? And so we need to do our best to try and restore such a one. Look here. The item that was lost was once possessed, and now there's a diligent search made for that lost item. But there's one final lesson I want you to see here, and that's this. Recovery brought great joy. Huh? Yeah. Go back to the scriptures with me. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. Speaking about that one sheep. Shepherd's got 100, loses one, he got 99. He's gone after that one. Look what happens in verse 5. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders. What? Rejoicing. He's rejoicing. And then he says in verse number 6 to his neighbors, hey, come rejoice with me. Come rejoice with me. Look at verse number 9. And when we're talking about this woman who lost that one coin, sweeps the house, I mean, diligent search. And when she found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together saying, what? Rejoice with me. Hey, look here. Recovery brings great joy. Amen. And then, of course, there's that son who comes back. Remember I said the father was keeping vigil? Every day he's looking out in the field. Son, man, he says to himself, he comes to himself and he says, man, I can't take it no more. He said, my father's servants live a better lifestyle than I. What am I, out of my mind? Yes, because when you're in sin, you're insane. What am I, out of my mind? He comes to his senses and says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back and say to my father, I know I'm not worthy to be a son, so just treat me like a hired servant. He makes this whole, you know, he concocts this story. I'll say this to my dad and this to my dad. And as he's coming, what happens? What happens? Does he make it home? No, the father meets him in the field. Why? Because the father kept vigil, watching for him every day. And then he finally comes back. And look what the father says. Go to verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fattest calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Why? Well, because my son was dead and now is alive again. He is lost and is found, and he began to be merry. Amen. Are you listening real good? There was great joy in the recovery. In the recovery. Now, let me wrap this up. There is no doubt about it. If God has ever used you to lead somebody to Christ, it's kind of like after the birth of a child. I can't say giving birth to a child, right? I wouldn't want to put myself in that position, ladies, because I see the agony. I remember Mrs. Genizzi, we had 4. She doesn't believe this, but I suffered just as much as she did. Been suffering ever since. No. But there's just I don't know. And it is. Tyler, like you preached on Wednesday night about joy. There's a joy. Just a joy. It's not happiness. It's deeper than happiness. There's a joy when you lead somebody to a saving knowledge. Amen. Just first of all, just to know that God used you in this eternal work is unbelievable. You know? And then to see, I've done this many, many times. You know, you get through your whole salvation plan, salvation. You talk to this person about, and all of a sudden you say to them, hey, so are you willing, would you like to accept Christ? And they say yes. It's almost like you say, what did you say? Are you sure? You know, because it doesn't happen that often. When it does, it's amazing. And then you're able to lead that person in prayer, and man, they accept Christ. And then you pick up your head and say, so what did you just do? I accepted Christ. Where are you going to go when you're not going to go to heaven? Man, I tell you, it's just something deep down inside. There's a joy. And you know, for me, at least, you know what I say to myself? Boy, I want to do that again. Amen. I want to do that again. I want to do that again. And then to sit back and watch that same individual grow in the Lord, where you can see evidence of their salvation, and you see them, you know, maybe getting baptized and going to church. It's a wonderful thing. And now through the years, people that I've led to the Lord, and it's I led to the Lord, people that God allowed me to be a part of the process, you know, they'll call or write a note and say, preacher, I'm so thankful, you know, for... Man, I tell you what, it floats your canoe. Do you understand that terminology? Man, it just... But for me, there's great disappointment when one wanders away. On my level as a pastor, the very first thing I do is look in the mirror and say, what did I do? What did I do? They're not coming to church anymore. And I know some of you members think the same thing. You come up and you don't want to say, Pastor, where's so-and-so? You want to say, Pastor, what did you do because so-and-so is not coming back to church? I know that's what you want to say. I'm glad you don't, but I know that's what you're thinking. What'd he do? But there's great disappointment in our hearts. And by the way, I had that disappointment before I became a pastor. I remember just sitting where you're sitting and my pastor preaching, and I would look around and say, man, where's so-and-so at? Where's so-and-so at? Where's so-and-so? And I just disappointment. But, listen carefully. Here's the full circle. If you allow the Lord to use you in this ministry of recovery, and he places you in the path or in the life of that wandering one, that straying, that drifting one, and the Lord uses you to recover him, woo! Man. Guess what happens? Well, that joy starts to... Huh? You see him pop in church, or you maybe don't go to your church. You know they're going to a church. And I was just talking to a brother this morning, popped in my office and said, Pastor, I thank God for that outdoorsman night. It was wonderful. And I said, man, you had a whole host of people around your table. He said, I know. And he said, man, they all hold the word of God. And he said, one of them, the week after, went to another church. And I seen the joy. I seen the joy in that brother's heart because of that very thing. Are you with me? I'm telling you what, look here. I know there are some things on this earth that bring us happiness, but there's nothing but the Lord that can give you joy. Amen. And when you do the Lord's work, it's like, it's just a joy. There is joy in... Did you ever sing that song? Huh? You don't know those songs, do you? These are oldies. Joy in serving Jesus as I follow on the way. There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. Nobody ever heard that song. There is just joy in serving Jesus. And there's joy in the ministry of recovery. Look here, I'm going to finish. At times, I think the Lord has commanded us to become seekers. Seekers of lost souls, seekers of lost sheep, and at times, seekers of lost seekers. Because at times, even seekers get discouraged. Right? Even those of us who are on a seek-finding mission, we get disappointed. And we need recovery. Right? You need somebody to pull up alongside of you. We had this family in our church, John and Lena Rutilli. Does anybody years ago ever go to Cowtown and see the Cowtown Gospel Reach Outreach? Remember that? Remember that little old Italian couple, John and Lena? They were as faithful as could be. Well, they were members of our church and very instrumental in our salvation. So I was their pastor for a lot of years until the Lord took them home. And Lena was an absolute unbelievable soul winner. I mean, to tell you, the woman lived to win people to Christ. But she had the tendency often to get discouraged because she wanted to see immediate results. And I can't tell you how many times a year she would pop into my office and just discouraged as could be. And she would say, Pastor, and she would be weeping. I said, what's the matter, Mom? I used to call her Mom. What's the matter, Mom? And she'd say, I'm just not seeing any fruit. I'm not seeing people get saved. I've witnessed the Bible. I'm seeing people get saved. And I just wanted to weep with her because I didn't have that same burden. But I remember saying to her, Mom, look, listen carefully. He's just encouraged you and I, commanded us to be witnesses. And our job is just to witness and leave the rest to him. Amen. But it was refreshing to me that she had such a burden and would weep because she wanted to see more results. You know why? Because the results bring great joy. And every once in a while, I would have to say to her as a seeker, who was tired and disappointed and discouraged, hey, hang in there. Why? Because in due season we shall reap. Amen. if we faint not. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. And that's why Paul said, flip that verse up again. That's why Paul said, I'm going to sum up this series. Therefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What work? The work of redemption, reconciliation, and recovery. Why? Because you know your labors are not in vain in the Lord. See that last statement there? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're going to pick that up next Sunday morning. That'll be the final message in this series on always abounding. Because I want you to know that everything you do, whatever it is we do in the name of the Lord, does not go unrecognized. And one day we're going to reap if we faint not. Amen? And so here's my prayer. My prayer is this, that you have been personally touched with the ministry of redemption. That you know the Lord is your personal Savior, and now you are living out your profession of faith. It's become visible. And as we said in that message, that you're walking with God. And then my prayer is that you would accept responsibility for your ministry of reconciliation and recovery. Because our labors will not be in vain in the Lord. Amen? Let's pray together, may we? Our heads are bowed. In just a moment, our team will close up with a song. We're so glad you attended this morning. I really hope that this series has served as a blessing to you. I really hope that if you're not saved, that you would consider what you need to do to get saved. Once and for all, just get it settled. Knowing that Jesus Christ on that cross, Calvary, paid it all. Paid it all. Shed His blood so that you might have eternal life. And if you are saved, I just pray you're walking with the Lord, enjoying Him, experiencing Him at a personal level. But also that you would accept your responsibility of ministry. Ministry of reconciliation, recovery. Well, that's for us, church. That's for you and I to go out into our community and rescue the dying, and then inside the church try to recover those who have strayed. We do our part, He'll do His part. Father, would you work today in every heart, in every life, every mind, draw us to a good place. Help us to make good decisions based upon what we've heard. May we hide your word deep down inside our heart. May we do something with it. There's someone here who doesn't know Christ as Savior. Might today be the day they get it settled. And for those of us who are saved, once again, burden our hearts for ministry. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.